The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 28th. I was watching Saturday Night Live a couple months back, and they did a skit. It was a game show kind of a thing, if I remember correctly, and the contestants in the game show were homeschooled kids. Now, the picture that was painted here of these homeschooled kids as they answered quiz questions was kids who knew very sheltered children with no knowledge of the world outside the confines of their home where they were schooled. They knew nothing of history, nothing of science, and had possessed no real knowledge. They were simply repeating the propaganda, some of it kind of quasi-Christian, that they'd been taught in homeschool. Now, that is an extreme caricature of homeschooling. Is there a kernel of truth in it? But that is how the culture sometimes depicts not only homeschooling, but those who homeschool and those who are homeschooled. We're going to talk about homeschooling. Dr. Gene Edward Veith joins us for the last half hour of the program today. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Good to be with you again.
That caricature that I talked about, very little knowledge of history, science, and a very sheltered existence for the homeschooled child, is there any truth in this?
Oh, that's so comical in the other way, because what I found as a professor, both in regular colleges and here at Patrick Henry, where about 80% of our students are homeschooled, it's the opposite. I mean, homeschool students read books. I remember other places I was teaching, I would ask something about history, and the only students that would know the answer would be the homeschool kids. That's because they've studied history and not just generic social studies where they make forts out of popsicle sticks and that sort of thing. That's often about the only history that people get in kind of the mainline schools. But usually homeschool kids tend to be working with a more academic curriculum, more of a solid, content-rich curriculum. And also, since the main way they learn is by reading, homeschool kids tend to have read a lot more. And you really see that in the kinds of knowledge that they acquire.
Why do, at least as far as you can tell, why do most people who do homeschool?
Yeah. Well, at first, I think a lot of parents decided to homeschool because they didn't like what was going on in the public school. Some did it for religious reasons. They were reacting against the secularism of the public school system. Others are worried about safety issues and peer pressure and various moral reasons. But what's interesting now is that many parents, and those others are really good reasons, but now parents are doing it for academic reasons because they see that the curriculum in the public schools is so easy, is so empty. And a lot of parents, including some who aren't even Christians, but who want a better academic training for their kids, are going the route of homeschooling.
Someone says homeschooling cannot, unless these children... unless their parents are professional educators, it cannot possibly equal the quality of education that a kid could get in an average public school where the teachers are professional educators and there's a whole system geared toward the classroom and geared toward educating the children.
And it's odd that those teachers are often talking about having to do a good job as their test scores continue to plummet, that we need smaller classes and more teachers and a better teacher-student ratio, whereas a student who has one teacher to one student is going to have more teaching to happen, really, than in a public school of 20 or 30 people in the classroom. But aside from that, people don't understand, really, I think, what teacher education has become. You know, theoretically, you could see some of that. And I do believe there's a true vocation of teachers, and that schools and Christian schools and Lutheran schools are can be very good things. But what's happened in teacher education is a de-emphasis on content. In other words, a teacher typically has not had any actual history or literature or math or science than they did when they were in school. That was about the last of it, because their training has been in pedagogy and in educational theory and in progressive teaching methods, many of which don't work. In the meantime, when they are in the classroom, they're having to draw on a very small knowledge base themselves. And it's possible for parents to be good teachers for their students. Typically, they're relying on books and, you know, good solid curriculum for their content, and the teacher plays the role. This is especially true in classical education. That's why a lot of homeschoolers go with a classical curriculum. It actually demands less from the parent or the teacher than other methods, because the parent or teacher on the grammar level plays the role of the coach, making the child practice, encouraging, and so on. On the logic level, the parent talks to their kids about it, ask questions about what they've read and what they've learned. Parents can do that. You don't need a teaching degree to do that. And on the rhetoric level, the parent or teacher is the audience, reading the student's writing, listen to the student's explanations, and simple responses like, "I don't understand what you said, can you say it again?" becomes a really good teaching method. And again, you don't have to have a teaching degree to do that. And ironically, the teaching degrees that are turning out don't really get into that part of teaching.
Okay, then it sounds as though, at least at the academic level, the myths about homeschoolers and children who are homeschooled do not bear up to scrutiny. What about the kind of the more social cultural criticisms that are often leveled against homeschooling? And that is, it isolates children from other children. It isolates children from the culture around them. And these will be children who may be brilliant academically, but will be socially backward.
Well, what is really artificial culture, and I think dysfunctional, as far as helping a child become culturally functional, is segregating children away from adults so that they're spending most of their time and most of their lives with other kids their age. That is what's artificial. That's what is dysfunctional. And now we have the phenomenon of not only kids who spend the whole school day with just kids their own age after school because their parents are working or whatever, they're spending their free time just with children their own age, and they ended up being raised by their peers. And the big influence in their lives are what the other kids are doing. Now, in any healthy society, it has to be run by adults, and the child has to learn to function with different ages. And you really find the homeschool kids, for one thing, tend to present themselves very well and to be very articulate around adults. But more importantly, they have been well-parented. The big cultural problem of our day, and this goes far beyond just educational issues, is parents spend so little time with their kids. Many kids never see their father, even in intact families, because the father, only has time to spend 15 minutes a day with them or whatever. And with their mothers, often they spend little time with the mothers because they're in school all day and the mother is working and other things. One of the things that happens in homeschool is that children are spending time with their parents, which is exactly what's needed today, what's needed culturally and from a developmental view and a psychological view and by every other measure. They're spending time with their parents. And so you typically find the homeschool kids tend to be amazingly well-adjusted in the ways that count. They're, and some of our students here at Patrick Henry, the homeschool students, do feel kind of insecure. Oh, they don't know the latest music, and they don't know the latest TV shows. But in what counts, they have they're solid in so many other ways. They don't have the dysfunctions and the insecurities and the lack of being able to hold an intelligent conversation. I mean, I tell people who worry about, are homeschool kids going to be well-adjusted, to just go into a shopping mall and just observe the packs of adolescents and teenagers and listen to their conversations and watch them at work and listen to their inarticulate ways that they're relating even to each other. And I ask, is that what you want for your children? Is that the pinnacle of cultural function that you're looking for?
Let's take a break right here, Dr. Veith. When we come back, we'll talk more about the social aspects of homeschooling. What kind of questions or comments or stories do you have about homeschooling? I want to hear from you. We've got 10 more minutes in this hour with Dr. Gene Edward Veith talking about homeschooling. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 28th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Stay tuned.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for October is the Lutheran Study Bible. There is a little sense of urgency here because the book is price reduced until Saturday, until the end of this month, and then it returns to normal price. So if you want to act, you really need to act pretty soon. Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order the Lutheran Study Bible at its price reduced up until the last of this month. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can go to our website and browse before you buy. The book is there, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, the Lutheran Study Bible. Dr. Veith, one more question on the socialization when it comes to homeschooling. I think a lot of people would say, if it extends into the high school years, you will end up with a kid who isn't ready to leave home to go to college. I mean, they will be ill-equipped to having, you know, kind of stayed at home, literally and figuratively, all those years. Going away to college, which a lot of kids do end up doing, will be too much of a culture shock for them. And even if they've been well socialized with adults, they're going to suddenly confront things they have never confronted before, and it may be disastrous.
Well, there does come a time when a child grows up and has to leave the nest, and that's hard sometimes for parents and children alike. At the age for college, they're typically ready for that move, and they typically embrace it. And again, the different children and different parents, and the idea is not with homeschooling is not to completely shelter your child and never let your child out of the house. Typically, homeschoolers do a lot of things with, summer camps and group activities, and they do have their friends, and there are homeschool debate leagues and homeschool, math camps, and so it isn't that the child it never leaves the house. And I think a parent can structure a very natural sort of progression for the child, where the child has gone out on his own sometimes and has functioned. At Patrick Henry College, of course, we have that a lot, and typically our students do really very well. I mean, we have some of the highest SAT scores in the country, which reflects on the academic preparation that at least these students were very well homeschooled, and socially too. They make friends. They enjoy their time, enjoy their studies. They take advantage of the opportunities of the Washington D.C. area, and some of that I think is more of a theoretical problem than an actual problem.
Joe is listening in his car. Joe, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Dr. Veith. You actually met my wife, Cheryl, at a Lutheran conference over the past summer.
Okay, great.
Comment, I have not yet had to install metal detectors at our school where my kids go, which is my home. You're telling us a lot of good things about homeschooling. What weaknesses or vulnerabilities or deficiencies are there related to homeschooling?
Joe, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, well, first of all, homeschooling is not no schooling. And I think there are some homeschoolers maybe who confuse that. If you're going to homeschool, it takes a lot of work. And if parents are unable to give it that kind of attention, then it's not going to work, and the child would do better in a school. You need to have a good curriculum, and the parents need to be teaching it and spending that time with their kids. And not everyone can do that. And both parents have to work for one reason or another. Again, it's very difficult to pull that off. And again, some homeschools that don't take that seriously, just let their kids do whatever they want and don't give them the kind of structure that you really need for a good education, I think, aren't going to prepare them as well as they need to be prepared. So, you know, other kind of weaknesses. I see in homeschool some of the same weaknesses I see in general. I think homeschoolers and people in Christian schools or public schools need to do more with math than they usually do. Okay, I think math education in this country as a whole is neglected. It's hard to do experimental science in homeschools, but then again, it's not really happening very much in the public schools either. Scientific experiments have been just sort of reduced to kind of fun activities. I think a lot of that can be made up for, though, by good reading and by there's some really good online sources. One of the revolutions in homeschooling, just like we heard from Matt Harrison, the new technology makes so much communication available. There are some outstanding online courses that a lot of homeschoolers are using, including some very good teachers. You can take courses that are hard for just parents to give, like if they want to teach Latin or calculus or math or something. Sometimes that's hard for parents to handle because they don't know that either. But they're online resources of a very high quality, including for things like science and chemistry and physics, that are really good options for homeschoolers now. So it's just getting better and better in the kind of resources that are available. But again, it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of attention. And, again, it's not for everybody.
Edie is listening in Tennessee. Thanks for waiting, Edie.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Very well.
Good. Hi, Dr. Veith. My
Hi.
Husband and I are huge fans of Issues, and we read your blog often. We homeschool our kids, and I'm not a teacher either. I'm a semi-retired family practice physician, and we do the classical method, the well-trained mind, and are in our second year. My question actually was a question of the previous caller, so I think I'll just leave my comment. And my comment would be that, just for instance, today I have a second and a third grader that I'm homeschooling, and we are reading out of the unabridged Pilgrim's Progress, and so we read a few pages in that. We memorized the Reformation Day prayer. The girls conjugated Latin verbs, and we just had a great day. And so I think academically it's such a good option. But the most important part is they spent all day with somebody who loves them unconditionally and knows their weaknesses and their strengths and who definitely has their best interests at heart. And I would agree, we this year have hired a Latin and Spanish tutor, and that's been just a huge load off my shoulders because that's something that I didn't know myself. And so I think you're right that there are so many good options. It's kind of a lonely place to be, though, to be Southern, to be in the South and be Lutheran and a homeschooler. You're kind of in a quite obscure little group, though. So, but thank you to Issues, and thanks, Dr. V. We appreciate your hard work.
Well, Edie, thank you very much for listening in Tennessee and so faithfully listening. About 30 seconds or so for a brief response and a final question, Dr. V.
Well, that's a good example. Again, to be a parent, to have as a teacher someone who knows them so well. You know, in a big class, it's possible to set back and never participate and just sort of slide through your work. You cannot do that when your mother is your teacher. And so you just get more out of the students, I think, than you might even realize they were capable of. And that's a good example of what she's saying.
Well, then again, with only about 20 seconds, what do you say to a parent who says, I wasn't the best student myself? How could I possibly educate my children? About 20 seconds for a response.
Well, you don't have to educate the children in the sense of you having knowledge and then pouring it into the brain of your child. That's not really how good education works anyway. It's giving your child opportunities, having your child read books and talking to the book about them, even having them explain the book to you, having a curriculum for them, drawing on all the resources that are available, and then kind of shepherding them through it and making sure that they keep up with it. That's all that's asked of really a homeschooling parent. And so, again, you don't have to have that. And typically, parents say that they have grown so much in their education since they've been homeschooling their kids.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Dr. Veith, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer join us for a review of what they're calling the scariest movie in decades, Paranormal Activity. I will tell you, my teenage daughter went to see it and fell asleep. She didn't find it that scary. Maybe she missed the scary parts. We'll talk about that movie. It's very low budget. It's one of those kind of things that was just tossed together in its big box office. Tomorrow with Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer. Folks, when you surf the web tonight, check out our website, issuesetc.org, and find out about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. You can give as a confessor, an apologist, a reformer, or a patron. All the details that are at our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the photo of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses under the donate page, issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's been a pleasure today. This was really, really nice. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.